Okay. Since I'm the moderator, I'm responsible for keeping myself in check with time here. But you guys feel free to chime in if I start to go over. So I'm very excited to be here to talk to you about how we merge theory and formative data to create an adolescent asthma self-management app. I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. Learning objectives are to explain how self-regulation theory can serve as a guide for developing a chronic disease self-management app, and describe how we integrated formative data from adolescents and their social network members with self-regulation theory constructs to develop an asthma self-management app prototype and demonstrate materials from the app. So why apps? If any of you have seen the most recent Pew data from 2015, you can see that teens have access to cell phones, or smartphones, sorry, it's kept my timing from a previous thing. They have access to smartphones 73%. So it's almost ubiquitous. And adolescents prefer technology-based asthma education over one-to-one sessions with providers and written materials. So this is a mode that they really seem to prefer. Now, if we look at the digital divide, which I'm sure you've been hearing about, if we look by gender, we can see that there's almost similar access to smartphones for adolescent boys and girls. But when we look at race ethnicity, we see that non-Hispanic blacks actually have higher access to smartphones at 85% versus 71% for non-Hispanic whites and Hispanic teens. So this is also from the most recent Pew data. And as you may expect, older adolescents have more access to smartphones than younger adolescents. So when I was doing some research on asthma apps to see if they were available for adolescents, I found an adolescent asthma app gap. And a recent paper just came out earlier this year that only 8 out of 147 asthma apps target children or young adults. And only 4 of those 8 have features to document symptoms or peak flow, which are really important aspects of asthma self-management. Moreover, the theoretical underpinnings of these apps have not been described. And I have screenshots from 2 that were available when I first started doing my study back in 2012. The one on the left is AsthmaMD. And you see that's very nice and well organized, but seems to be geared more towards adults. And the one on the right is iAsthma and Control, which really seems to be geared more towards children. So now I'm going to discuss how we developed our app. So we received an American Lung Association grant to develop an adolescent asthma self-management app. And our purpose initially was to obtain input from adolescents, their caregivers, friends, and providers about what they wanted to see in the app. And I folded adolescents here because we're really going to focus on their responses and what they had to tell us. And then to develop an app prototype based on adolescents' preferences and self-regulation theory. So this is a graphic of self-regulation theory. And there's really 3 behaviors that are at the core here. It's self-observation. So an adolescent is observing their asthma if they're documenting their peak flow or their symptoms on a daily basis. This influences self-judgment. So then if they take that information that they documented and look at to see if they're having a red day, yellow, green, if they're in a different zone, then that they're assessing their asthma severity. This in turn influences their self-reactions. And the most important self-reactions are outcome expectations and self-efficacy. So if adolescents see that they're in the red zone with a peak flow, and then they take their medication, their rescue medication, and they see that that helps them breathe easier, then they're going to have positive outcome expectations for that medication. And with self-efficacy, if they take their medications and they feel like they can keep their asthma under control, then they're feeling more self-confident that they can manage their asthma. These in turn influence use of asthma self-management strategies, and all of this is also influenced by intrapersonal factors like their knowledge, attitudes, feelings, and beliefs, as well as external factors, which would be role models. So do they know other children with asthma? Do they get technical advice from their providers? And do they get social support from those in their social network? So our methods, we recruited 20 adolescents from 2 practice-based research networks in Durham and Chapel Hill, North Carolina. To participate, the adolescents needed to be ages 12 to 17, have persistent asthma of any severity, speak English, and have access to a smartphone. So what we did is after their appointment with their provider, we gave each adolescent an iPod Touch, and they had two asthma apps on it, and those were the two that I showed you the screenshots of. So during our first interview after that visit, we asked them, we had a research assistant show them how to use the apps briefly, and then had them explore their apps for 10 minutes, and then we asked them about their initial impressions and what they thought about the app. And then we asked them to use both apps for a 1 week period. And then during a second telephone interview, we asked them to rate the usefulness of different features in the app and see if it impacted their self-management behaviors. So all the interviews were transcribed verbatim and de-identified. We had three coders code the initial interview data thematically. We identified themes, and then we also were coding for self-observation, self-judgment, and self-reactions. So we created this code book with definitions and example quotations from the initial set of interviews. And then two coders used that code book to code the remaining transcripts. And they had an intercoder reliability of 0.85, which is good. So the adolescents that participated in the study were about 14 and a half years on average. They range from 12 to 17. 45% were female, 45% were white, 40% were black, and two were American or Native American, and one identified as Hispanic for their race and for their ethnicity. Their grade in school was about eight on average. They had been living with asthma for about 10 years on average, and they rated their own asthma severity as moderately severe. And 35% of the teens in our sample had an annual household income of less than $25,000 per year. Now, regarding their technology use, 50% said that they used the internet more than once per day. 35% said they used it almost every day, and the remaining teens said they used it at least once a week. 85% used a cell phone, and 75% owned their own cell phone, so this was in line with the Pew data. 100% had downloaded an app previously, but only 15% had downloaded a health-related app. And none of our kids had used an asthma app before the study. Although 100% had used the internet to look up health-related information, only 63% had used the internet to look up asthma information. And the reason there's asterisks next to those last three is we had four children that didn't complete the study and do the one-week follow-up interview. So what did we find with our result? So after going through coding all of this great data, we found that there were certain features that seemed to increase self-observation for the adolescents. They had symptom and trigger monitoring features. So these were places where the teens could input what symptoms they were experiencing on a daily basis and the triggers that they were exposed to. Medication reminders increased their observation of their medication-taking behaviors, so they could set up alerts to get text messages or reminders when they were supposed to take their controller medications. And then diaries were places to put freehand information about what they were experiencing during the day related to their asthma. And we found that two features were really described as increasing their self-judgment. These were charting features. So the symptom and trigger information could be put into charts, and so the adolescents could see how their symptoms changed over time and how their triggers exposure changed over time. And they really discussed how they used that to increase their self-management behaviors and judge the severity of their asthma. And the self-check feature was available in the app that was geared towards younger adults, and it was really neat as a quiz that the adolescents could take as often as they wanted. It was based on the asthma control test, and they would get a number when they were done with the quiz. And it would say, okay, based on this number, it looks like your asthma is well controlled. You know, it looks like that you might be having an issue. Maybe you want to take your rescue medication. Or it'd say your asthma is really not controlled right now. You need to do your emergency procedures for asthma. And they really liked that. They also discussed features that increased communication. There were doctor report forms that they could email to their providers if they wanted to do that, that included the charting information. Although I don't have the provider information here, I could tell you that they don't want to receive those charts via email, and they said that they would prefer that the adolescent bring it on the phone and show it to them. Also, there were school nurse forms that they could show emergency plans to their school nurses, and they discussed the ability to sync their information with their parent if they had put the app on their phone as well, and how that increased communication. So I have some quotes from the adolescents I'd like to read to you about increasing self-observation. And I always remember to take my medicine easier with this app, so I think that will help out. Because if I could continue to take my medication on sort of a consistent flow, it makes it easier. And so over time, I think it will help me control my asthma. The triggers, I thought it was good because it would help you keep track of like what triggered it before, so you would know to stay away from it or stay indoors if it's like a certain type of plant blooming or something. And it would help you remember that for future years, so you could remember to stay away from it. So here is the prototype of the app that we're developing right now. Based on their feedback, we definitely wanted to include those logging components to help children or help teens self-observe their asthma. So they can document their symptoms, they can document their triggers, and we included an asthma control test in there where they can rate their asthma on a daily basis. We also definitely wanted to include the reminder feature. That was one of the features that the adolescents reported using most, to remember to take their control medications. So here's some quotes discussing how the features were used to increase self-judgment. I liked the chart. It kind of helped me see where I was, how I've been doing over the course of time. I normally didn't really monitor it that much. I kind of let my mom do it. And this way, if I were using this, I could kind of tell myself how I was doing on my own. The chart, because I can watch it. I can scale my asthma, I can see if it's worse or if it's getting better, or if it's really serious, I need to do something about it. It helps me. I think the self-check feature is really good because you get to take this test over and over again. And like over time, maybe your score might get higher, and that might be a good thing. And like I like the test because you can really see if your asthma is getting better. So we included charting features in ours. We're doing usability tests right now, really playing with the graphics to see what do teens understand, how do they like us to present this information. So we're testing out these dots to kind of show them holistically, or looking at over time, can we create a score that incorporates all of this information to show them how they're doing on four different aspects at once. So in terms of self-reactions, the adolescents discussed increased confidence. I think it makes you feel more confident just because it makes everything like easier to get to and easier to use. And also, maybe if you have someone looking at it and you know they want to see your trigger, you can pull them up and say, here are my triggers. You have them all here. Maybe if you forgot a medication, I know that the doctors, they always ask you, and I know that a lot of people don't remember the doses. So they can say, oh, you know, hold on, I have the dose. I'll pull it up for you right now. It makes you seem like you have more control over it instead of you're just part of doing what your doctor tells you to. Although, I mean, that's very good, but you seem like you have a larger part in it, I guess. And you've seen this a little bit in some of the other quotes, but they discuss how the apps help them take on more responsibility. So normally it was parents doing it before, and I would just not keep track of it. But now that I see that there are apps out there for this certain purpose, then I can do it myself and not have to rely on my parents to do it. It makes a difference because most teens, like you know, play on their phones and stuff and text and do stuff like that. Now that I have this on a device that I can use to do those things, then I can do it like in the process when I'm doing the other things. And that was another thing that came out is they like the convenience of the app. They like being able to document things and just have it with them when they're going around their daily routine. So one other thing I wanted to know is we included gamification features in our app. And this came out of the initial data where you can get teens to look at your app, but how do you keep them continuously engaged with it? How do you get them coming back? And so gamification features are a way they can keep people engaged with it. So we're playing around with badges, avatars, putting quizzes in there so they can get points. You know, we may need to include external rewards in this if we're going to keep kids wanting to come back and document this. Something else that I'll note is when they feel like their asthma is under control, then they said they're not likely to use this, or they don't want to use that very often. So we really have to tailor these apps so it engages with teens at the level that they want. So if they're under control, they're telling us that maybe once a week check-in is good, and I'll document this information once a week, versus if they're not under control, the kids were taking that quiz multiple times per day, so it needs to engage with them at the level that they want. Now, increased communication. I think if me and mom were able to see my asthma, like what was going on at the same time, because most of the time, like I said, I'm a forgetful person, I forget stuff. So she can remember and she can be like, put it in her iPod and say, but on this day, you posted that you were wheezing on this day. And so they were talking about 75% said that they would want their parents to text message them to remind them, which was very surprising to me. When we asked them if they would want their friends to text message them, most of them did not. Also, 75% said they wanted to share this information with their providers. So this app could be a communication tool. And you saw it in some of the other quotes too, but they really discussed how that app helped them self-manage their asthma and keep it under control. It kind of keeps me to where I can see what I've done, instead of it just being in my mom or my doctor knowing how far I've come, where if I'm getting better or worse, if I'm normal for myself or anything, I can kind of keep myself in check. So conclusions, limitations. We really feel like asthma apps can promote increased self-efficacy, responsibility, communication, and self-management behaviors for adolescents through increased self-observation and self-judgment. We did have a small sample of adolescents. We were giving them iPods as incentives, so we couldn't do too much with that. Also, they only used the apps for 1 week, and so I feel like if we had asked them to engage with the app over a longer period of time, we may have had some different data regarding what was useful and what was not. Our next steps are to finish doing our usability test with adolescents, create a fully functional version of the app, and then pilot test it in a sample to see if it really does improve outcomes like school absences, asthma self-management behaviors, and asthma control. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on the presentation and the American Lung Association for funding the grant. So, let's see. Thank you. So I think I have time to take a few questions if anybody has one. This is a revised and resubmitted translational behavioral medicine right now. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll get an acceptance. Any other questions?
Did you work with a tech firm to develop the app, or did you do that yourself?
We have a Chai Corps on UNC's campus, and they specialize in doing apps and websites, so they helped develop it for us. We contracted out with them. But you can work with app developers. They will help you do this type of work. You just have to find that one that will work within the budget that you have. This one, I had $100,000, and so a lot of it went towards initially doing the focus group interviews, but then I would say it's probably about $50,000 for the app development.
Can you give us an example of a gamify, like how you did gamify, and you know how much of it needs to be really directed to the main intent, or how much of it is sort of a font making it fun?
Yeah, I think that your question about that really gets into the idea of serious games. So we're going to incorporate important content into the gamification. And so an example would be some of the adolescents had discussed, like, you could give us a blank avatar, you know, or a fictional character that kind of represent them in the app. And if we remember to take our controller medications or we keep our asthma under control, we can personalize our avatar, you know, dress it, take it places. That was one of the examples that came up. Getting badges for doing those things was another one. They said that during the focus groups, but when we showed them that on the app, they weren't too motivated about it, so it's back to the drawing board on that. So.
Hey, Neil Dion, also from the same.
Hi. Yes.
What about other kids that have them? I'm thinking like captains, like CFA partners.
Yes, they did seem more amenable to sharing with other kids with asthma. But again, that seemed to be moderated by how well controlled they thought it was. So if they felt like their asthma was under control, they weren't looking to engage with other people in the space where they're separating themselves from their peers as being different. It's something I didn't talk about here is that we had said that we would recruit 20 friends with asthma and give them iPods. We only got 3 because our participants didn't want to engage with their friends around me having asthma, me being different. And so I think that's really important when you want to incorporate peer support into these types of things, is really understanding whether the adolescents want to engage with their peers in that space. Well, I didn't do it, but I think they were basing it, the app that we had done with it, I think they were basing it on the asthma control test scores, where they divvy them up. I think it's 19 and above is considered not well controlled, and then moderately controlled and very poorly controlled. So most apps, and you'd see that in the Huckfield review, are not based on evidence-based guidelines. So when we bring this up to a fully functional version, we're going to be engaging with pediatric pulmonologists to figure out, you know, how exactly should we make recommendations regarding this. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for those questions. We're ready to move on to our next presenter.